commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Get ready for Foodie and the Beast with Nikki and David Nellis. A foodie born and bred, Nikki loves dining out, chatting up chefs, and insider industry buzz. David thinks a great meal is a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under 20 bucks. Foodie married Beast. And now they have the Food and Wine Variety Show that has everyone talking. From famous chefs, winemakers, and brewmasters to authors, farmers, and restaurant critics. It's Foodie and the Beast, and it's on now.
What? Are we on?
Testing,
good
testing.
Morning, everybody. Welcome back to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We've got a jam-packed show, but I do have to tell you about some. First of all, this bagel from Georgetown Bakery this morning was still breathing when I ate it. It was delicious.
Still breathing. That doesn't sound tasty
at
all. I
eat my bagels live. So, very briefly, we got to tell you, because the kids are at camp, which means mom and dad are out.
I'm out. Yeehaw. I don't know what you're doing, but I'm having a good time.
Well, we got a couple places just to mention, but mm-hmm. I wanted to give a shout-out to the people at Medium Rare up in Cleveland Park. We had dinner there Friday night. It is so much fun.
It is fun. Shout-out to Brian Zippin. We always have a good time when we go with him. He poured me a delicious rosé, which I'm basically taking intravenously during this hot weather. And it's an always fun place to be, but we did, well,
you sound
like
an intravenous alcoholic.
I know, well.
Right. Okay. Call them as I see them.
Have at it. But I did go out a lot this week. I went to a lot of great places. I don't think you were with me for much of it,
No,
actually.
I got left at home. Wait, why was I at home?
I don't know. Get a life. So I did get to go to Estadio this week. Heider is just doing some magnificent things there in the kitchen.
He'll be on next week, right?
He will be on next week.
Heider Karum.
And Adam Birnbeck's gin and tonic certainly is cooling on these hot summer nights. Did stop in Bertrand Barley, and Kyle Bailey is just knocking the ball out of the park. The food is incredible. Stopped at Rouge. They're doing a new cocktail menu and bar menu there. It was certainly cool to see. And we also stopped by Cork, which was happening.
Yeah, the we doesn't include me. So
we meaning me and my friends.
Talk a little about our show.
Okay, have at it.
Well, listen, many top D.C. area chefs, people like Todd Gray at Equinox or Nick Stefanelli at Bibiana, will all know the answer to the question, where's the beef? For them, it's Creekstone Farms Black Angus beef. And Creekstone's Nathan Stambaugh is in today, direct from Meatopia or whatever it was. What is that? What it's called?
Yeah, Meatopia. It's actually an event that happens in Brooklyn every year, celebrating meat in general. They call it the Woodstock of meat, but celebrating heritage beef. Our heritage pork as well.
All right, well, excellent. We're going to be talking about that shortly as well.
And later in the show, we have Marianne Esposito of Ciao Italia. She's going to be on the phone with us because she's coming here in a couple weeks to talk about this big Italian event, the Taste of Italy. It's on August 4th. So she's going to give us the 411 on that. And once upon a time, Danielle Poe was a human resources executive. Now she's a pastry chef.
Rolling in dough.
Oh, my God.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And she is the founder and owner of Danielle's Desserts. It's a dessert cafe in Tyson's Galleria. She's brought in lots of sweets, which we are going to be digging into later on in the show.
You know, I want to find out how she jumped from HR to CHEF, because I like that career change thought.
I know, it's very cool.
I'm ready right now. We've also got Sean Prince in. I asked. He's not related to Freddie, which makes you a less interesting guest in my eyes, Sean. But Sean's the assistant GM at Jean-Georges J&G Steakhouse in the W, and he's also a skilled beverage professional. And he's in to talk about and pour summer wines from J&G and talk about some stuff they got going on there. And Sean, let's start with you. I think people would hear your title, you know, assistant GM, and not necessarily think that a sort of a business side guy would know his wines, but you do. So, you know, tell us about your background.
Well, prior to Jean-Georges, I was at the St. Regis in D.C. I did the opening with Alain Ducasse, and I had a very good mentor, Ramon Narvaez, who is almost the prince of wine when it comes to D.C.
We know Ramon very
and
well.
I
He's
think
a, good
a
guy.
Lot of people in this room know Ramon very
right.
well. Very,
I know
very
his
well
wine.
Connected.
So
yeah. And he was extremely eloquent and very knowledgeable. There was a lot of the stories behind the wine. So he was a great mentor to me. And prior to that, South Florida, where I was at with Starwood and with Weston Hotels. So mm-hmm. a lot of wine down there as well. But definitely Ramon was a big impact.
Well, so tell us a little bit about the program you're working on at J&G Steakhouse and the sort of wines that you're doing there.
Absolutely. Because we have such a large market of people that come there, we have, you know, businessmen, ex-presidents, so on and so forth.
Well, and we should say, for those who don't know, J&G Steakhouse is in the W Hotel.
I did say that.
Well, I'm just repeating
it.
Well,
I've said it already.
All right, one more time.
But, yeah, the wine program is extremely international, but at the same time very local. So we have, not only far-reaching into France, but as well into Virginia, which is just a fabulous area for wine, and I think a lot of times understated on a lot of wine lists in the area. So mm-hmm. we definitely wrap our arms around the local area. And then we have a fabulous half-bottle program, which has gained a lot of traction with our business diners who want to have more than just one glass of wine on an expense account. Half-bottle just sounds so much better on the check.
Well, I got a question for you, because, I mean, I'm one of those people, when it's this hot out, I wine doesn't even cross my mind. But there
clearly
are
clearly it crosses mine.
You know, I'm going to get you some help, Amy Winehouse.
Right. But that's not
Amy.
Nice.
Well, too soon. Too soon.
Oh, right.
Why was that in bad taste? Well, that's what I'm known for, so it's okay.
Right.
No, but I mean, you brought some wines, and obviously there is a wine program that's hearty and healthy and up and running in the summer. What kind of wines do you serve when it's this hot out?
Well, it's a steakhouse, so we still sell a lot of Cabernet Sauvignon, a lot of reds. People love that with their steak, so there's always a large demand for that.
But they just want something big?
Yeah, they want big Napa cabs. Uh-huh. But again, with the 122-degree heat index lately, we've been selling a lot of rosé and a lot of sparkling. People feel as if they're calmed by a little effervescence, so the first one I brought was Thibaut Janison Sparkling out of Virginia.
Mm-hmm. It's not the fizz.
It's not the fizz. I've had the fizz, and this is much better.
So this is Claude's?
Okay. Yeah, Claude Thibaut.
Yep.
We've had Claude in studio, too. He's a wonderful guy.
All right,
guy.
While we're tasting this, why don't we turn over to Nathan Stambaugh, and let's start from the start with you. You're with Creekstone. It's 100% black Angus. You know, give us a 411 on Creekstone, because I don't think it's a household name here. It is with chefs, but I don't know that it is with consumers.
Sure.
And you didn't bring David a baseball hat. He's going to be really upset.
We've got one out in the trunk for you. We'll bring it in.
Okay, Nathan.
Creekstone, it is a big name with the chefs locally, and mm-hmm. we're actually reaching out to the consumers so they realize what a sustainable product we have. Mm-hmm. We are 100% black Angus. There's a lot of programs out there. They call themselves Angus, but really they only have to be 51% black-hided.
Well, can you explain? I mean, for those who don't know, what does black Angus mean? I mean, it's the whole cow is a certain breed. Can you explain that in greater detail?
Great question. It's actually the breed of cow.
I'm the one who asks the good questions
I know,
on the show, just so you know.
Oh, my God.
It's the breed of cattle. So black mm-hmm. Angus is the specific breed. It's actually known for marbling and fat.
Okay.
So when you're eating a steak, The thing that's going to give you the flavor and the taste profile is the marbling inside.
Mm-hmm.
So when you start with a black Angus cattle, you already have said, I'm going for the best steak on the plate.
Okay. So when it's only 51% Angus,
well, when it's black hided, it just
what
means
does that
basically
mean?
Like the wrapping is, it looks like
it's
a black
Angus. It's like gold
Angus.
Plated?
Sure. It could be. Gold plated is a great example of it. It could be a Holstein.
I'm getting gold stars left
it could
right
be a
today.
Holstein
wait,
cow.
Nathan, hold on. I'm on this show too, all right? Good Lord.
We're going to talk about burgers later, Dan.
Yeah, talk about burgers.
And I know they're your
hurry
favorite
up.
Food.
Jeez.
So, you know, it could be a Holstein cattle that had 51% black skin color.
Okay.
On the outside. And what's going to happen on the plate is you may have a very good steak one time, and the next time you eat the same brand, you're not going to have a consistent eating experience.
Okay.
Well, I just want to ask a question, because the thing that, you know, I mean, there was a time in my life when literally you stepped on my foot and my mouth opened and I would eat whatever was in front of me.
Are we talking about last night?
Shut up. Nikki has...
what are you talking about?
Well, I'm saying that, you know, I would eat any piece, basically go anywhere and eat any hamburger, any steak or anything. And now I'm even aware of the issue about antibiotics and hormones and all that. And, you know, they've been prevalent in beef farming for decades. You guys are hormone and antibiotic free. You know, what are the pros and cons? Because, you know, how do you protect your cows and keep them disease free if you're not medicating them?
Sure. You have to start with small farms. I mean, the key to having healthy cattle without feeding antibiotics or hormones is keep them in small family farms. So we actually work with about 100 small farms, so we're able to keep our production numbers up, but in the same time ensure to the customer that it's going to be never ever on the hormones and antibiotics instead of a withdrawal program.
Okay, well, I want to get into that, but I mean, one of the things that I think is when it came to antibiotics, they were just mass feeding them, they weren't treating anything. They were like pre-treating with the antibiotics, right?
It was preventative.
It was preventative.
It was preventative to keep them from getting sick.
Right.
And what the cattle industry is based on regularly is weight. Mm-hmm. So the quicker you can get an animal up to weight, the more money the end farmer is going to make. We look at it the complete opposite way. We want those cattle to be healthy so that we have a consistent eating experience every time it's on the plate.
So with these small farmers that you work with, do you have guidelines that you prefer? With all this grass-fed, corn-finished, where do you guys fall on that line? What are you looking for with your cattle?
Sure. We actually have cattle procurement people inside our organization that go out to each farm. Mm-hmm. All the farmers have to sign an affidavit. So the way our program works is never, ever on the hormones and antibiotics. Mm-hmm. As far as feed, they're pasture-raised their entire life.
Okay.
And then they do get some corn and grain.
Finish.
As a finish. And we mm-hmm. feel that brings that Midwestern pop, that real flavor to the beef.
Mm-hmm. All right. I got another question. I was reading in your literature, and you say you're something about a withdrawal program.
You mentioned it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't get that.
What that is, and it's really the consumer, the end consumer doesn't realize this, but there is some natural beef programs out there that aren't really, truly, honestly a natural beef program, because mm-hmm. what they've done is they may have selectively fed antibiotics or hormones, but in the last 120 days, they didn't. And they call that a withdrawal program because if you're testing the meat...
Oh, they take them off the...
Yeah, they take them off the antibiotics and the hormones. And then if you test the meat doesn't show any traces of it.
So it's like bike racers. It's like bicycle racers who take steroids or baseball pitchers.
Right.
And then it doesn't show...
That never happens.
No, I never.
Not
that's
in baseball.
Sneaky. I don't like that.
That's terrible.
And there's no way for you to find out about that unless you really know.
You would have to talk to the actual company themselves and verify whether they were a never ever program or a withdrawal.
Well, now as you came into the DC market, mm-hmm. I'm sort of curious how once you started with the different chefs that are here, how do they decide on their cuts of meat? Does everybody just want a steak? Does everyone want a prime rib? It seems like every couple of years, there's like a new cut that's really hot. How does that come into play?
Sure. I think there's two things. One, it's seasonally based. Mm-hmm. And the other, it's just new cuts and experimenting. Because chefs are always going to be passionate about putting something new and different on their plate.
Right.
So right now, you're going to see, and the chefs are probably going to get upset with me for saying this, but chuck flap. Mm-hmm. It's a great cut. It's reasonably priced. Very flavorful. And it's a good alternative to short ribs.
Well,
why though? Why is it a good alternative?
Same consistency, but it's boneless. Instead of a chef having to bone out a short rib in his back kitchen, mm-hmm. he can use this chuck flap and put it out on a plate at a good price point for the end consumer and still have that flavor profile.
But doesn't some of the sort of proliferation of focus, if you would, on certain cuts have to do with the economy too? If you're buying a whole cow, you got to get as much out of it as possible. Wasn't there a time when the ribeye was considered a throwaway?
Yeah, or the hanger steak would be another great example.
So hot right now. Yep. Speaking of medium rare, that's what they're serving.
Yep. You see, and medium rare does a great job over there because they have one option, which is this beautiful hanger steak mm-hmm. with the steak frites.
Yep.
And it's really incredible that they can do that. But there was a cut that got thrown in the grind pile and ground for burger, or the butcher would take it home. That's how it got the name the hanger steak, because they'd hang it up on a hook and take it home.
So is it the economy that drove the sort of the incorporation of some of these cheaper, what were cheaper cuts?
Less expensive.
It is. They call them value-added cuts because what would happen is the New York strip, the filet, those would go up in price, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and they had to create some other cuts to kind of offset it.
All right, we have to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to ask how you work with local chefs, because I know they're very demanding. We want to hear how they're working with Creekstone Farms. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We're going to be drinking some more wine and talking some beef when we get right back.
What if I told you that you could learn a new language the same way you learned your first language?
No WFED Washington, no WWFD Frederick, WWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOBFM HD2 Washington.
That's why we want to send you a free demo CD-ROM from Rosetta Stone. You'll find out what U.S. diplomats, more than 10,000 schools, and NASA already know. That this is the world's fastest, easiest way to learn a new language, guaranteed. Call now to request your free CD-ROM and try it with our compliments. Learn a language faster than you ever imagined. Call 1-800-600-6612, and we'll rush you the free Rosetta Stone CD-ROM today. Remember, there's no tedious translation, memorization, or drills, and the Rosetta Stone program offers more than 30 different languages. Call for your free Rosetta Stone demo CD-ROM today and see how easy and effective it really is. Call 1-800-600-6612. That's 1-800-600-6612.
Welcome to today's lottery drawing. And today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Your new Cocker Spaniel is waiting to meet you, and you don't have to travel very far. This weekend, almost every weekend, Oldies But Goodies Cocker Spaniel Rescue holds at least one adoption show in the greater D.C. area. Find out where we'll be this weekend by checking out CockerSpanielRescue.com. Stop by to meet the many homeless Cockers of all ages who are looking for their new home. These dogs have already been spayed or neutered and have all their shots. For more information on adoption, fostering, or volunteering, visit CockerSpanielRescue.com.
Okay, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis and our guest Nathan Stambaugh from Creekstone. Where is Creekstone? Are you out in, is your operation out in Kansas and the processing all happens out there where the farms are?
Correct. We've got one processing plant out in Kansas and we pull all of our cattle through there. So everything that's processed there is specifically our meat.
Okay, and you know, people, I think with all the E. coli and other issues that have happened, what kind of safety standards do you guys maintain?
Sure. We E. coli test every piece of meat that comes out of our plant that's going to go into a grind. So E. coli happens a lot of times with burger meat. So before it leaves our plant, we are actually getting a negative read so that when it goes out to our local distributors, they have the assurance that there won't be any issues.
So it's already been cleared. So you already
correct.
Know.
And I was just going to ask, do you ship to consumers? I mean, can we order...
We do. We ship via the web. We've got a web store at creekstonefarms.com, and customers can get it delivered right to their door.
Oh, cool. Well, that's good. And I love that it's pasture raised. I think that's very, very important. And just quickly, so tell us about some of the chefs that you work with here in D.C.
Sure. Chef Todd Gray was one of the first chefs to bring on our product when we brought it into this marketplace. We're very excited to work with him at both of his restaurants. Brian Voltaggio this year has recently started using Creekstone on his menu. Nick over at Bibiana, as you mentioned, a big fan of Creekstone Farms, and we love working with him. And the newest player in town is Shake Shack. We do the special blend. That's all out of Creekstone Farms here in town and all of their other locations.
You do them up in New York?
New York, Dubai, Kuwait.
Wow.
They're going international now.
You know, we're
going
to be in Dubai next week.
We'll stop by Shake Shack when we go to Dubai.
All right, let's make sure. Give us the website once more so people can go check it out and order.
It's creekstonefarms.com.
All right.
Excellent. Thank you for coming in today, coming from Meatopia and giving us the 411 on Creekstone Farms.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Excellent.
All right. So, Sean, let's get back to Sean Prince.
What did you just pour? We finished. It wasn't the fizz. What was the name of the first one we had?
The Thibaut Janison Sparkling.
It was delicious. A good way to start the morning. What is this next one in front of us?
This is the Hirsch Chardonnay 2008 vintage of Sonoma. And I love this wine because it's made very uniquely. They ferment the wine in steel, glass, and oak.
Okay.
And then they mix it all together so they can really craft their own kind of flavor and taste. And then they also sell it individually. So you can buy wine that's just been fermented in steel, glass, oak, and then mixed together. So it's a pretty interesting winemaking.
That is neat.
And I just love the minerality of this wine. It's extremely almost effervescent for Chardonnay and for hot days when you don't want to have an oaky, buttery char that kind of California gets
has a bad rep for. Right.
This is much lighter, much more aggressive on the palate.
Actually, it's funny. When you smell it, you think it's going to be big, like a California Chardonnay, but it's not like that at all.
Yeah.
It's got a real nice light palate. That's great. Okay.
All right. Well,
are we ready for our next guest?
Yes, we are. Marianne, are you there?
I am. Good morning. Ciao. How is everybody?
Ciao. Come va? We're going to speak Italian all day.
So bene, grazie.
All right. So, Marianne Esposito, here's the first question, great question. You've got Martha Stewart, Emeril, Paula Deen, all those others running around on TV. And, in fact, you are the host of the longest-running cooking series in TV history, Ciao Italia, on PBS. How did all that happen?
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right. I am under the radar, but we've been there for 22 years. We've just completed our 22nd season.
You're not under our radar, by the way.
Which you can see, of course, on Create on WETA in your area. Mm-hmm. Chowtalia started years ago at a very small public television station in New Hampshire, of all places. And, if I told you the whole story about how that started, we'd be here forever. But it started with my very first trip to Italy and mm-hmm. The fact that my grandmothers were professional chefs. My mother was a dietitian. I was a teacher at the time before I became a chef. And mm-hmm. So you know how they say plums don't fall far from the tree. Mm-hmm. Well, when I made my first visit to Italy, the light bulb kind of went on and things just changed around. When I came home, I knew that that was the calling. And so here I am.
Well, so when you started your show almost two decades ago,
yeah.
The palate of America was very different than it is today. How have you seen it evolve, especially when it comes to Italian cooking, and how your show has evolved to go along with that?
Well, what I have seen, of course, first of all, producing a show in New Hampshire on Italian food is very difficult because you didn't have that Italian community base that really understood what you were doing. So it was mm-hmm. really a hard sell to go to the public television station. But once people started traveling more and they wanted to go to cooking schools and experience foods of other cultures, that's when the cooking shows really took off. Mm-hmm. And you have to credit PBS because they started the whole cooking school, food cooking on TV genre. But then the Food Network came along. And all of this helped to just pique people's imaginations about what could be in the food world instead of what they were just used to. And mm-hmm. for my show, the whole mission of Ciao Italia has been to expand the repertoire of the fact that there are 20 regions in Italy, and each one of these regions cooks very locally. So what most people were used to, just spaghetti and meatballs.
Red sauce.
Red sauce and Chicago-style deep-dish pizza. That was nothing. Mm-hmm. That was Italian food. So I like to think that what our show did was become a library of what real regional Italian cooking is all about.
Well, and now that, we in the States are going more local and sourcing local, do you think that with your show that can really be applied, especially as people cook Italian in their homes?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the components of Ciao Italia is that we cook locally from the Ciao Italia garden. Mm-hmm. Every season, I...
Your husband's the gardener, right?
He's the gardener, yes. Gaius.
I wish my husband would garden.
Everything you see in the garden is our home garden.
Mm-hmm.
And we grow a lot of Italian varieties. I would say 99% of what is in that garden is Italian. Because I wanted to show people that, food doesn't come wrapped in just plastic containers. Mm-hmm. Where does it come from? So we started this 22 years ago. This was in the days of when Alice Waters was saying, local is best. So I like to think that Ciao Italia really was in the foreground then of having people think local, sustainable mm-hmm. agriculture. And here we are 22 years later, and we're still doing this very same thing from fork to table.
Right.
Well, I've got to ask you a personal question, because I lived in Italy for a couple of years, and both Nikki and I just travel there as often yeah. as possible and love Italian food. Across 20 years and all these recipes and experiences and the 20 sort of mm-hmm. culinary regions of Italy, what is your number one favorite Italian thing to eat, and where is your favorite spot to eat it? Because you probably know Italy better than any of us.
Right.
That is a really loaded question.
And don't say pizza, because that'll be a cop-out.
No, but what I was going to say is I'm really partial to Sicily because that's half of my culture. I say that swordfish, if I could have a piece of swordfish topped with a really good caponata mm-hmm. in Mondello, which is a wonderful fishing village in Sicily, I would be very happy. But
I would too.
Yeah.
Altamina. I don't even have to go to Mondello.
But we like
Altamina would be nice too.
Yes, it would.
I think what I've been trying to teach people is, when you go to these regions, eat what these regions are noted for. And mm-hmm. I kind of make a parallel to what you would eat if you were traveling in the United States. Go to Texas, you want to have this big honking steak. If you go to Cape Cod, you want to have lobster. You don't want to have lobster in Texas. People go to Italy.
We just had lobster in Scranton, Pennsylvania. That was interesting.
Right. Well, you know what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
They get them in the sewers.
Right. No, it's 100% right. You should absolutely eat the Italian way in all parts of your life. I think you're
and
right
on. And speaking of which, great segue. Because
yes. You're coming down here August 4th for the Taste of Italy event.
Yes.
It's a chef tasting and marketplace.
On August 4th, mm-hmm. and I am going to do a demo, and I'm going to actually be cooking with someone. Someone's going to have a chance to be a chef with me for a day because it's going to be one of the auction items.
Right. In fact, you can auction for that right now. We actually have it on the website. If people are interested in cooking with you, what are you going to do? What are you going to make them do?
Well, it's a surprise. I'm going to be doing a couple recipes from my latest cookbook, which is Ciao Italia, Five Ingredient Favorites. So every recipe in the book only has five ingredients. And I'm going to do a seafood dish, and then I'm going to do a really interesting tart with Nutella and mascarpone.
That sounds terrible.
you know, Nutella is to Italy what peanut butter is to America.
I know, and it's just a little bit better, too, don't you think?
So I'll be doing that, and then that's going to be followed by a book signing. So I'll be doing a book signing.
And what will you be signing? Because you have 11 books. Are you going to be signing all of them?
I don't think so. I think I'm going to be signing probably my most current one, the Ciao Italia Five Ingredient Favorites.
And aren't you working on a new?
I have a new book that comes out this October.
Mm-hmm. And what is it?
It's called Ciao Italia Family Classics. It's more than 200 treasured recipes from three generations of Italian cooks, my two grandmothers and my mother, and then me.
Oh. Where do you find time to do all this?
I get up early. You know, you have to, when you're a chef, you need to prioritize. You have to do several things at once. So I enjoy the process of writing. And, of course, whenever I'm in Italy, and I'm always taking groups to Italy as well to cook in different cooking schools in Italy, I get a lot of inspiration from where I am. And
my husband's rolling his eyes. He's like, why aren't we going
to
Italy?
Well, you can't. Come on. You guys can come. This year's trip is full to Umbria, but you can always go to the website, ciaoitalia.com, and check out what next year's offering is going to be.
That was a very smooth plug. I like that.
I'm used to this.
Clearly. All right, Marianne, so now when you come in on the 4th, your husband is coming with you. He's getting in on the act. So tell us what he's going to be doing here.
He is. Actually, my husband, Guy, is a physician, but he's also the head gardener, and it's 5
o'clock.
It's a good
hobby.
He's a Renaissance man.
He's a Renaissance man. He's going to be giving a lecture on Italian wine. So if there is anyone who's interested in that, they should sign up for this, because Guy demystifies all of the, you know, the aura surrounding wine that people may be just a little bit leery about asking questions about. So I think it'd be a nice opportunity for them to get to know him, the other half of Ciao Italia.
Right, exactly. And are you going to be bringing any goodies from your garden?
Well, I don't know if they'll let me do that going through security, but...
Oh, well, you probably have a good point. Well, you know, we have wonderful farmers markets here, so maybe you'll get an opportunity to pick from the produce there.
I can just see them saying, watch out, the zucchini's loaded.
We have to take a quick break. Do you mind just staying on the phone for just a second? And we'll be right back with you. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We are talking Ciao Italia, and we're also sipping some wonderful California Chardonnay. We'll be back in just a sec.
Ciao.
Cellist Yo-Yo Ma, one of the great stars of classical music, enthralls audiences all over the world with his passion and artistry. When it comes to picking a cello, he tends toward Italian instruments made in the 18th century. When it comes to a timepiece, however, he favors an instrument crafted in Switzerland, the Rolex Datejust. Since Rolex introduced the first self-winding calendar wristwatch in 1945, the Datejust has become one of the most sought-after models in the Oyster line. With its classic Oyster design and magnified date window, the Datejust is every bit as distinctive as the master cellist who wears it. To see the Datejust and a complete selection of other Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Torno, the world's largest watch store. Torno, the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
What if I told you that you could learn a new language the same way you learned your first language? With no tedious translation, no useless memorization, and no boring drills. You'd have every right to be skeptical, especially if you struggled with languages in the past. That's why we want to send you a free demo CD-ROM from Rosetta Stone. You'll find out what U.S. diplomats, more than 10,000 schools, and NASA already know. That this is the world's fastest, easiest way to learn a new language, guaranteed. Call now to request your free CD-ROM and try it with our compliments. Learn a language faster than you ever imagined. Call 1-800-600-6612 and we'll rush you the free Rosetta Stone CD-ROM today. Remember, there's no tedious translation, memorization, or drills, and the Rosetta Stone program offers more than 30 different languages. Call for your free Rosetta Stone demo CD-ROM today and see how easy and effective it really is. Call 1-800-600-6612. That's 1-800-600-6612.
Hi, everybody. We're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis and with Marianne Esposito of Ciao Italia. Marianne, are you still there?
I am.
Oh, good.
Did you have fun listening to our commercials?
I did. I want one of those watches.
Okay, for you.
For you,
I'll
anything.
So I just want to wrap up real quick the talk of Taste of Italy. It sounds like a very cool event. It's co-sponsored by Maserati and Ferrari of Washington.
And they're going to be there. There's going to be Maseratis.
Cars will be there, yep. And Dolce Gelati will be there, and there'll be food samplings and all that. So obviously, si mangerà bene, si?
Si, mangia bene. Tutti mangia bene.
Everybody's going to eat well. But I want to ask about, you know, your new book and that whole process, because I think from the consumer side, we see people that, you know, it looks like people are just pounding out cookbooks. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anybody really understands the kind of research that has, even when you're talking about your own family recipes. What did you have to go through to pull all that together?
Wow. Well, I was lucky in the sense that my mother kept very detailed notes in these black and white little composition notebooks. And so I have all of her old recipes. And, of course, I would ask a lot of questions. I knew that before everybody passed on that I wanted to hear their stories. So over the years, I have collected this information because I was privileged enough to live with my maternal grandmother. So mm-hmm. My maternal grandmother lived with us. So, you know, she would tell all the stories. And there are a lot of interesting stories in the book. This is not just a cookbook. It's a story of the love and reverence that these three women had for Italian food and how they wanted to preserve this for future generations. So I'm now the messenger for this. So I say that this book is my tribute to them and everything that they've taught me. So lots of questions were asked. The fact that I was able to, you know, my grandmother lived with us and that I had these notebooks just kind of embellished everything that I brought to the cookbook.
Well, you know, after you put the book out, maybe we'll have you back on the show so we can talk more about the recipes.
Well, let me ask this. Were they all Siciliani? I mean, is this 200?
Oh, no. Because, these recipes, I'm half Sicilian and half Neapolitan.
Oh, so you get the whole...
You get the whole thing.
There's a real strong emphasis on Southern Italian cooking, but also a lot of the recipes in here are my take on other regions of Italy, the Piedmont and the Veneto. And so there's a mix of lots of things in here. But primarily, its focus is on what these three women have given and I have been able to help preserve.
I have an awesome idea for you. Pick a recipe that will be necessary for the three of us to taste in Positano sometime soon. Can you do that for me?
Yeah, sure, I can do that.
You're so nice. After all these years, I just love you. All right, everybody, it's Marianne Esposito from Ciao Italia on PBS, and you're going to get a chance to meet her and maybe even cook with her.
Get on that auction.
On August 4th.
I'm tweeting about the auction right now, so if you want to cook on stage and be a part of the demo with Chef Marianne Esposito, now is your moment to do that.
All right, Marianne, thanks
for
joining
us.
Thank you.
Please,
ciao,
as soon as...
Ciao, tutti.
Ciao, grazie.
Grazie a voi.
Bye-bye.
Okay, right. Sean, I haven't even had, another sip of this, and you've poured something else. Tell me what we've got going on here.
So now we move over into France.
Yay!
And we go to...
We leave Italy and we go to France. This show is just no fun.
And this is a Meursault out of the Côte de Beaune. Mm-hmm. And the difference between this Chardonnay and the one prior is has an elegance to it, mm-hmm. a feminine elegance that's just incredible. So you mm-hmm. will get notes of butter in this. It's much more delicate, light fig, almond, and just a really very regal old world approach to wine.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, there's a lot of fish on the menu at J&J. So is this what you're pouring? I mean, are people drinking white with the meat?
Yeah, a lot of times we get a lot of dates, especially Friday, Saturday, and the gentleman will often task me with, can you find a white that will pair with both her fish and my steak?
Oh, he's like throwing down the gauntlet on
and
a date?
So, yeah, so I need
no,
to...
No, it's because he has no idea what to say, right? No, not you.
No,
yeah. Bring me some Boone's Farm, boy.
Yeah, as long as you have a Chardonnay or something that's bold enough and has a structure to hold up to a Filet Mignon or a New York, you can pull it off. And that's also where I can go to my half-bottle program, because I can start them off with a white and move them into a red.
How big is your half-bottle program? I mean, how many half-bottles
do you
have?
It's about half a bottle.
I would say we have about 25 half-bottles on the list.
Yeah. And is that, I mean, you just don't see them at that many places around the city. I just don't think a lot of people carry them. Are you one of the few restaurants that do?
I would say you either have a large amount of them or you have a very low quantity. And it's one of those things that you really do have to prompt the guests. They're not going to ask for the half bottles. They're going to start with a glass or go for a bottle. And a lot of times you have to introduce it to people. And they're very welcoming of it.
I know, but I don't think there's a lot of education on it. I think people think if it's a half bottle, it's a cheaper quality of wine. Like, do a lot of the better wine producers create half bottles?
Absolutely. It's a fabulous way to get high-quality wine that you can almost pour by the glass. If you have a very, very high-quality wine, you're never going to pour it by the glass because there's no way to make money on it. But half bottle, it's not a major commitment for the guests, and they can try some incredible half bottles.
Interesting.
Right.
Okay.
I just want to break in with a quick commercial for myself, because I know that my wife doesn't think I'm funny at all, but Andy and Nick and Jeremy, they're all laughing because they're all 13 years old,
they're
too.
They're not laughing at
They're
you.
Laughing
I mean, they
with
are
me.
Laughing at you.
No, they're not. So back off, baby. Okay. All right, let's bring in Danielle.
She's here.
Danielle. Well, I meant like
I
into the
meant.
Conversation.
I got
all
it.
All right, Danielle.
Yes.
Here
Hi.
We are.
Hi.
Welcome. You were a
We like when people come with treats.
Yeah, we're going to get some forks. But
they're right in front of your face.
You were a human resources executive.
Yes, I was.
And you were bored stiff.
Well, why don't you tell her how she was feeling?
No, I read. No, but now you're a pastry chef and owner of Danielle's Desserts in Tyson's Galleria, which is a very, you know, posh, elevated, she location. How did all that happen?
Well, first I want to say I wasn't quite bored stiff. I don't want my former employer.
Right, you don't want to offend anybody.
I lied.
Right.
I'm the kind of employee she never would have hired.
Right.
So how did it happen? I can tell you, David, that 25 years ago, I knew I was going to be doing
this. When you were like four?
No, thank you, though. Flattery gets you
I'm
everywhere.
I'm looking for some free cake.
Oh, yes, I can. You've got it. So I knew I was going to do this about 25 years ago because I like to bake and have my own business. And I thought, you know, to have a business where I'm actually creating the product and selling it on the spot is what I want to do. It took me 25 years to get enough courage up to actually do it. And I had to wait till my daughter was grown and out of the house. I had to wait.
You have a grown daughter?
Oh,
wait till these people
I have
see
a
you
grandson
on TV.
As well.
Really?
Wow. I have a grandson
oh
as well.
Oh, my God.
You know, Nikki's a grandmother,
I have a
too.
Grandson too.
You know
oh
what?
My God.
You know what? There's some hot grandmothers running around. Why don't we just change the show to The Beast? And
grandmothers are not what they used to be,
no,
that's for
sure.
So anyway, it took me 25 years to get up enough courage to do this. And it was funny
because... But was this the idea that was rummaging around in your brain? I mean, you knew you wanted to do a bakery?
Yes. And so it was really about 2 years ago, maybe 2.5 years ago, time flies, that I said, you know what, it's time. Mm-hmm. I'm not getting any younger.
Right, and the economy was great. I mean, what a time to go out and
well, that's
start
the thing.
A business.
You did this in the middle of an economic mess.
Yes, I did.
How hard was it to get it up and running and you
and
know,
what about
I mean,
the capital? Did you need a lot of capital to
I
launch it?
I did need capital. It was not easy to get up and running because I had trouble getting the capital.
I bet.
And I never did get it, so I really had to come up with an idea that allowed me to think about how best to start small.
Are you the person that's been robbing banks with that bag
over there? That's me. Right.
We'd like to do it with you. Yeah.
With the pastry hat.
Do you need help? It would kind of be like Jim Carrey and Taylor Leone.
That's me. So somebody advised, well, why don't you start small? So it's funny because I thought, okay, well, I'll start with a cart in a mall or I'll start with a kiosk in a mall. And from there,
that
I started.
That does not sound small to me.
But you're at in, all. You're in but, one of the but, in the city.
Well, the way I ended up there is a heck of a coincidence. So I was meeting with different mall managers, and they were saying, okay, well, this is what it's going to cost. And, you know, and it was going to cost a lot more than I thought it was. So forget starting small. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I finally met with an individual that was affiliated with Tyson's Galleria, one of the most prestigious
malls,
fashion retail malls in the country.
Mall.
Yes. And so that person said, you know, we have a spot for you, and we've been wanting to put a business like this in that spot. That's how it happened.
Really?
Did they already have the kitchen facilities there for you, like up to code and all that?
The space was up to code for the most part. I brought in all the equipment and set it up the way I wanted to. I had the counters built and all of that. But by and large, the space was pretty ready.
All right, well,
that's amazing. Well, I want to talk about how you came up with what you were going to serve.
Okay. My niche is down-home Southern style. And it's funny because people walk in and they say, oh, you're from the South. Actually, I'm not.
I'm going to grab a fork and find out
what
your niche is.
Okay. Sure.
Go for it.
Delicious.
No.
We're going
for the blueberries.
Okay, that's a blueberry buckle.
Do you want to get this on film?
There you go.
That's a blueberry buckle, and you took a nice big bite.
Because that's what he does.
Yes. Yum. Yes.
Okay.
And the blueberry buckle is made with, you know, everything is made with a lot of butter, sugar, brown sugar. That one there has a cinnamon crunch topping on it.
I thank you and my cardiologist.
You know, it's funny because we had a cardiologist come in one day, and I said, wow, should you be here? And he said,
moderation.
I know your customers keep me in business.
Right, exactly. Moderation's what's important.
Moderation.
But
yes,
no,
thank you.
Did you have a menu in mind, or as you opened, were you like, no, I want to do more cake, I want to do more pie? I mean, how did you come up with your menu and what's on your menu?
Sure. Well, we have a variety of cakes, pies, squares, cookies, all kinds of things, and miscellaneous types of desserts like the blueberry buckle.
Can you put it down over here when you're done?
No.
And probably you want to turn that around so that the front of the dessert.
There you go. She knows how to display her desserts. Absolutely. That was great.
Okay, so I have a variety of things here. I have three different kinds of cakes. The things I have on that platter happen to be our best sellers.
Okay.
And so you tasted the blueberry buckle, one of our hottest sellers. I also have two pies on there. One is a real summer seasonal pie.
Yes, this one looks like summer and seasonal right here.
Yes. Well, that one is year-round. It's a pecan coconut chocolate chip pie.
God. Oh, my God.
Coconut chocolate chip. That one.
Boy, greedy.
That one is nice heated with a little whipped cream and a swirl of caramel sauce. Ooh. Nikki, you're tasting the strawberries and cream cake.
It is delicious.
I just want the camera crew and Andy to understand that I will be putting a fork in every one of these, so you're not going to want them.
Sean, if you want some, you better get over here.
I know.
Fork in hand.
Fortunately, we have a few extras in the kitchen.
So where are the recipes from?
Yum.
Did you make them up?
The recipes are my own. My mom taught me technique when I was growing up.
Okay.
But the recipes are my own.
Mm-hmm.
I've been developing them for years and years. And literally, I've made some of these, at least before rolling them out in the shop. I made them hundreds of times and just tweaked them over and over and over.
But what was it like? I mean, with a bakery, you're not making it just for your family or for a party.
No.
You're making a lot of it to learn to up the recipes.
That was through trial and error. That was learned pretty much on the job.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, I mean, the Tyson's Galleria is not a really busy mall. And so we started out a little bit slow.
Okay.
I mean, the customers have discovered us, so things have really picked up. But I had time to play with, okay, now I'm doubling, now I'm tripling.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now I need to make sure I have 20 pie crusts
waiting. Is it basically just buying a good calculator? I mean, do you multiply it that way, or is it
more or less? You have to know your math.
Oh, that's
you
right.
Definitely
you
have to know your math.
I mean, because there's a lot of science involved.
That's right.
You know,
that's
baking
powder
and... rising,
exactly.
You know, you need to know what you're doing.
You really do need to know that. So it really was through trial and error.
It's delicious, but get it away from me.
Thank you.
So we've got to take a break, right?
Oh, yes, we do. All right. We're going to talk more about the kinds of things that you're baking up there and what people can expect when they come into your bakery.
Okay, that sounds
good.
This
is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We also are going to talk a little fashion, not the Tyson's kind, a different kind, when we meet back.
Since 1886, the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington, D.C. has been helping children in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Now they are visited by over 3,000 children every day. The club teaches character and leadership development and arts education. No child is turned away for being unable to pay the $25 fee, and the club needs your help to make this happen. Give a gift online at bgcgw.org. The life you lift up today will be the life that brings a better world tomorrow. This message is brought to you by GEICO and Federal News Radio.
In case you didn't know, the Bethesda Central Farm Market is now open, and it's big. With around 40 vendors, folks have a ton to choose from, like local and organic produce, a huge selection of natural meats and poultry, eggs, cheeses, cured meats, take-home foods, and more. Plus, they've got a huge selection of bakery and organic breads, fresh ground coffee, and more, all from top-quality family farmers, orchard growers, and artisan food producers. And since I'm the Beast, you know I'm cheap, and I want to say that aside from the really big draw of great prices and great selection is the fact that there's free parking on Sundays when the farmer's market is open, and I love free parking. That's Bethesda Central Farm Market. It's open Sundays from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Elm Street in downtown Bethesda. Visit BethesdaCentralFarmMarket.com for more info and to sign up for their weekly e-blast with lots of info about special arrivals and more. Bethesda Central Farm Market. If you're not living on the farm, it's the next best thing.
How can I keep my child healthy during flu season? My teenager's always online. How can I be sure he's not into something harmful? Parents Perspective has the answers. Sundays at 4 p.m. on WFED 1500 AM. Designate Parents Perspective 44415 with a generous donation in the combined federal campaign or online at www.parentsperspective.org. Thank you for helping Parents Perspective work for you.
All right, we are back on Foodie and the Beast with David, Nikki Nellis, and Danielle Pooh of Danielle's Desserts. But before we get back to Danielle, I just quickly want to thank the people that make the show possible. Our good friends at Georgetown Bagelry, the single best bagels
in the D.C. metro area.
In America. And if you're ever over on River Road, near that Whole Foods, you got to stop in there because their stuff is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Neighborhood Restaurant Group, Rustico, Birch and Barley, Tallulah Vermilion, and especially our buddies over at Planet Wine in Delray, a great, great wine store.
Absolutely.
Founding Farmers, lovely restaurant down on Pennsylvania Avenue. Farmers and Fishers over mm-hmm. at the Georgetown Harbor. And Notte Bianchi Dish Circle Bistro.
Mm-hmm.
The folks at Modus Hospitality. Charles Schwartz and Son Fine Jewelers. We got a jeweler. And Bethesda Central Farm Market. That's right. I'm wearing jeweled underwear today, courtesy of Charles Schwartz and Son. Thank you, Paul, Pastor, and Dan. Danielle, let's get back to you. I guess you guys were talking off camera.
Well, we were. So were you surprised? Did a lot of people ask for gluten-free?
Yes.
Was that a surprise for you?
Not so much. I knew there would be requests and requirements for special kinds of desserts.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it would be the sugar-free first and or vegan first, but the gluten-free is what we were getting the most of in mm-hmm. terms of requests. So.
Not a Southern baked good specialty.
No.
Right?
No, but we did develop, and I wish I had brought a gluten-free offering today.
We developed
a Death by Chocolate flourless pie that's gluten-free. We also have some coconut macaroons that are gluten-free.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seems we've satisfied the gluten-free craving.
Good.
The next thing I'll be working on is vegan, some vegan offerings and some sugar-free offerings.
So vegan just means without eggs and without
dairy,
right?
You
no
just
dairy.
Lost right. me right
yes.
there.
Yes, and we're
it's
talking
hard.
No
it's
butter,
hard to
no
do,
eggs,
right?
No milk.
No butter?
Yes.
I
yes.
don't know. Do you think gluten and the word glutton have anything to do with each other? I don't know.
Didn't think about that. But
no, I don't think I'd get a laugh, but I like that.
Okay, and so a good friend of mine who told me about your bakery said you do this one special treat mm-hmm. that is just delicious. She's mm-hmm. obsessed. And I hate to say it out loud because it sounds kind of dirty. But
No, this is what we were wondering. They're called cake balls.
Yeah.
And
yes.
we were wondering how you get their legs apart.
Well, just for anyone who does not know
so
what a cake ball is.
You're not even drinking any wine, and you're laughing at that. It's so
you know,
sad.
Danielle, when she leaves me, I'll be calling. Probably tomorrow.
Right.
So the cake balls started in Texas. I can't mm-hmm. take credit for those. And they're really just reaching the East Coast. There are a couple of establishments here that carry them on a pop.
Mm-hmm.
And what they are really compressed balls of cake. And what that means is you take a cake, icing and all, and compress it.
So, like, would you take your strawberry cake
That's
or your
right.
caramel cake and you just mush it together?
Yes.
Should we do it?
No.
We can.
David.
But then,
David,
I do believe
alone.
He's about to do it.
No, I'm going
to
do it. Why the hell not?
Because
why,
have
this
the,
is ready. Come
because
on.
Because you don't well, have the chocolate to dip
ready.
It into. David. Oh, right. my God.
Let's see.
That is...
And then what do?
Okay, so what you do...
Eat it like an apple?
No, not quite.
What?
What you do is you put it in the fridge, let it firm up, and then you dip
oh,
it
Oh, I thought,
in.
Wait a minute. All right, everybody, now this will be a first for radio. Nikki's going to lick my fingers. Come on.
I was trying to warn you before you picked it up.
Thank you.
Okay, then you dip it. Now, it tastes good that way, does it not?
Oh, yeah?
Then you dip it in some vanilla or chocolate coating.
Okay.
And you sell it like that.
Why didn't you say that faster?
I was trying.
You didn't do a good job.
Yeah, no, so no. The cake balls are usually a little bit smaller. Now, because some people are concerned about how the name cake ball sounds, some people call them cake truffles.
Okay,
that sounds
cute.
A bit more distinguished.
It's a little more refined.
Right?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
It sounds extinguished.
Okay, so...
So we've been playing with those. I didn't bring any today because we're still experimenting with those.
David just made one.
I know.
Seriously?
He just made one.
We're going to have a food fight later.
Oh, my God.
All right. Well, Danielle, that would work well. Let's make sure everybody knows where Danielle's desserts are in the Tyson's Gallery. We're not talking Tyson's Corner Center.
Right.
This is the Galleria on International Drive.
Tyson's Galleria. We're on the third level right next to Saks Fifth Avenue. Oh.
Good location.
Ooh. Yes.
Get some shoes.
And
get some cake.
You're going to get down-home Southern-style desserts. We use butter. We bake everything fresh right there. You can watch us, and that's what we have.
And should I announce that I've signed on as the cake ball maker?
You're hired.
All right. Well, thanks very much. Where are you online? Because I'm sure you got a website, too.
Sure. www.daniellesdesserts.com.
And you're on Twitter.
Yes.
And if you can't spell Danielle or desserts, you don't deserve to eat this food.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you for coming in.
And for bringing all your delicious desserts.
Let's get back to Sean Prince.
Sean, we have a lot to cover with you.
Let's get to the refined. Give me a wine bottle to schmush up over there.
Well, in front of you, actually, Nikki has already gone through the Pinot Noir.
It's really yummy.
Goldeneye Pinot Noir. This is an ace on our list. We serve it by the glass, and it's...
Ooh, it's
probably our sexiest Pinot Noir that we have. I mean, it's just really that true cherry flavor you go for, a little bit of spice, and that silky finish you hope to get in any Pinot
Noir. And how much is it a bottle?
I believe it's 76.
Okay. And what do you sell it for by the glass?
$2 million.
So. All right, but you guys have a lot of promotions going on.
Sounds like $4 to me.
At J&G Steakhouse and in the tasting room downstairs, which I love that little tasting room.
It's a great spot. And it's been exceptionally busy lately because it's nice and cool in the cellar.
Oh,
so
I bet.
So everyone's reaching their ref in there during this heat.
So the sips.
Sips and Bites.
Sips and Bites. That's down in the tasting room, yes?
Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about that.
I love the Sips and Bites. It's a selection of small little plates from the chef off the full menu with a tasting along with a pair along for $8 a plate or 3 for $20. You can get 3 plates and
it's
essentially almost 3 glasses of wine.
Right. Okay. Interesting.
For $20.
That's a very good deal. And we pour Goldeneye
there. I mean, we pour good juice, as they say. Now.
Can we get a reservation for 115? Well, you guys, I saw it somewhere in one of the notes you had. You're starting basically a to-go program, right?
Absolutely.
That's upstairs.
Yes.
That's
well, we'll
cool.
be executing that. You call Monday through Friday, anytime between 12 and 2, and in under 20 minutes, we'll have a lunch prepared for you, ready to go.
Oh, it's for lunch.
I mean, can I say, you know, slap me together a ribeye medium rare and some cream spinach, or is it not quite that extensive?
It's a limited menu, but if you're ordering a ribeye, I'll make sure you have
it.
Yeah, well, I'm in Annandale.
So is the to-go menu supposed to be for, like, local businesses, stuff like that?
Absolutely. It really strike a chord with people in offices who want to get a meal rather quickly and high quality.
And then lastly, you have an event on Wednesday, a fashion event. Now, that's upstairs. There's so many places that you're working with there.
There's a terrace on the rooftop. There's a patio on 15th Street on Pennsylvania 15th. And April Avon's going to be joining us. This is a second event she's holding with us. And she'll be going through proper cocktail attire. So there'll be a lot of women on the J&G patio on Wednesday.
Well, this is a great opportunity for me to mention, you know, because Charles Schwartz's son now has that Ivanka Trump costume jewelry line that is, you know, perfect for this. What a great plug I just dropped in.
Excellent.
Thank you,
good
Sean
for you.
Prince. For
so
that.
Can you tell people how they can find out about that event and a little bit more about what's going on there?
Absolutely. For $30, you can attend the event, and it's at our website, J&G Steakhouse, WashingtonDC.com.
And is there going to be like a fashion show?
Yeah, every 30 or 40 minutes, there'll be a few women kind of showing off what the best styles or the most favorite styles are right now.
Cool.
And there'll be plenty of food being passed and plenty of alcohol.
All right. Sean Prince, thanks for joining us
from J&G
Steakhouse.
It's over.
I just want to make sure that you will just talk all day.
Well,
I want to make sure everybody knows that this is just a microcosm of all the stuff that's going on out there in the greater D.C. area. And if you want to know what's going on, go to thelistareyouwanted.com. It's free to subscribe. This is not a trap. It really is free. And it lists hundreds of events and activities happening every day across the area. You can also follow Nikki on Twitter. What is your Twitter address?
NYCNELL. @NickNell.
Right. And if you hang in and turn to WTOP at 103.5 FM, you can hear Nikki at 10 of 1 today tell you about what's coming up this week.
Mm-hmm,
and also, if you think this show sounds cool, you should see what it looks like with people making kickballs and all that. Follow us on NBC4's Washington Nonstop. It airs every Friday night at 8:30 and Saturdays at noon.
Mm-hmm. Now, as we do on every show, we like to pinpoint a specific charity. And I read about this yesterday in the Post, and I think this is something that everybody should get behind.
It broke your heart. It was a good one. There's a second grader out there named Evan Moss who has epilepsy, and he suffers from very frequent and life-threatening seizures. And he found out there's a type of specially trained dog that can detect seizures and act to help him. So Evan had the idea to write a book to help raise the $13,000 that he needs to buy this dog. The end product is called My Seizure Dog, and it's a cute book that he wrote and illustrated himself. And it's available for $10 on createspace.com, or you can just Google My Seizure Dog and help this remarkable kid get the dog.
He's actually doing a book signing today out in Alexandria, so if you live out in that area, it's certainly worth stopping by and checking it out. This is it's something great to help with. Oh, my God, we're almost over.
Yep.
Okay, so also, as we do on every show, we have a little quote.
Yeah, and it's about Italian food real quick. In the 20th century, the French managed to get a death grip on the myth that they produce the world's best food. That hype has been carefully orchestrated, despite the fact that the most popular food in the last quarter century has undoubtedly been Italian. And that was from Clarissa Dixon Wright in her book, Food. So how about that, you French guys?
Boring.
We'll be back next week. This is David and Nikki Nellis on Foodie and the Beast. Thanks to Nathan Stambaugh, Marianne Esposito, Danielle Poo, and Sean Prince.
Everybody have a delicious week.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington, the Washington, D.C. home of Navy Athletics.
This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to the Lifelong Wells Nutritional Hour with the phenomenal Cheryl Wells. This program will feature the fastest nutritional discoveries available, and our special guest will talk about natural healing and prevention methods in caring for your health. And now, here's Cheryl Wells.
Hello, everyone. How are we all doing out there? This is Cheryl Wells, and you're listening to the Lifelong Wells Nutrition Hour. I'm so excited about today's show because we're going to be talking about a revolutionary, unique product on the market called BioVaxin. And we have a guest on today whose name is Mr. Tom Linus. It gives us great honor to introduce to you a nutritional expert by the name of Tom Linus. You may have heard of him. He's read many books, has been on many shows, and has researched many nutritional ingredients. Such a remarkable, intelligent man. Mr. Linus will introduce us to the exclusive BioVaxin.
Good afternoon, Cheryl. How are you?
Great. Thank you, and welcome to our show.
Good to be here with you, Cheryl, and hello to all of you out there.
I want...